His sin was that he did nothing. Not like he murdered someone. Not like he committed some horrible crime. He did nothing. He did not steward that which was entrusted to him. He ignored his calling. He neglected his opportunity. He wasted his stewardship, okay? Jesus is not wasting words here because Jesus doesn't want us to waste our lives.
Hi, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And hey, you're joining us in the middle of our series we're calling Urgency, Opportunity, and Mercy. For the past couple days, we've been looking at some very well-known and well-loved parables of Jesus. Last time, we looked in at the parable of the 10 virgins, and today we turn to the parable of the talents. It's another great message from God's word, calling us to renewed passion, calling, and conviction in our lives. Isn't it, Robbie?
It is. And really, really, the parable of the talents, we think of talent, and we sometimes think of a special gift we have or a special ability to sing a song or something. Talent, biblically, in this context, is really opportunity. And Craig, I know that we're both so passionate about the idea, man, you really got one life to live. We got one chance at this. And God, if we are saved in Jesus Christ, God has given us, he has entrusted us with an opportunity, with our time, our talents, and his treasure. And so this parable, man, it hits me hard, even just to go through it again and to think about it and to say, man, what the Lord has entrusted to us, let's not waste it. Craig, when you started this program, you referred to our listeners as loved ones. I love that because they are loved. And so loved ones together, Craig and I right now, we're like, hey, listen to what the Lord is saying. Jesus is like, I'm going to return soon. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your gifts in Christ. Don't waste the time you have. And let us maximize that because, again, one day, bam, snap my fingers right now, he's going to return. And we're going to be ready, I pray, to receive him and say, look, Lord, and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. So this is a really opportunistic series and message today specifically about opportunity.
All right, I'm excited for God's word today and how awesome it is that we can open up a book and it speaks accurately and truthfully to where we are right now. May God's word do just that. By his spirit, we pray. Let's get our Bibles, if you can, to Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. And here again is Pastor Robbie with today's message.
Last week was our first text, the parable of the 10 virgins in our series here. Last week was urgency. Urgency, the question with that was, are you ready? Are you ready? You have your oil? Is your lamp lit? This week is now opportunity. And the phrase that goes with that word is this, don't waste it. Opportunity, don't waste it. Now there's progression through Matthew 25. If you know me a little bit, it comes to God's word, I love to see progression in scripture. The systematic approach or systematic putting together by the Holy Spirit of scripture. And we'll see this within Matthew 25 thus far. The parable of the 10 virgins, if it's in one word, it's this, watch. Be ready, be prepared, watch. If the parable of the talents is described in one word, it's this, work. Get after it. Get to work. If you're truly watching, then the way that we're ready as we watch is to get to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't waste your life. It's interesting to me that many people will ask, they'll say, what does it mean to be ready? What does it mean to be watchful? And the answer to that question is our text today. Jesus could not be more clear in terms of what he's describing as this is the life that is watchful, that is getting after it for the things again of Jesus Christ. So don't waste the opportunity you've been given. Jesus is looking fundamentally through this parable, faithfulness from his children. Faithfulness is a key word. Again, So many people, I'd love to point out some of these things as we get into these things. So many people, I think, at the end of time, they will stand before Jesus as their life is brought to account, because all of us will have to give an account. Believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers in terms of salvation, in terms of heaven and hell, life and death. But believers also, genuinely saved in Christ, we will have to give an account for what we've done with our lives. And many people, even many believers, they'll stand before Christ and they'll say, Jesus, how come you weren't more clear? How come you didn't tell? I mean, if you would have told me more, I would have made changes. I'm telling you today in today's passage, excuses are gone. Jesus could not be more clear in terms of what it means to follow him. We got to know that. That's happening right. The fact that you're sitting here right now, you might regret it. All right. But the fact that you're here right now, there are no excuses. I mean, Jesus puts it on the table. It's so evident. It's so obvious. It's unmistakable what he is asking from those who profess to follow him. Notice the very first word in our passage today. It's the word in verse 14. It's the word for. See that there? For it will be like. The kingdom of heaven will be like. So this is a continuation from verse 1 of Matthew 25. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. We're carrying on that in our parable today. It's also a direct carryover from verse 13, of course. Look at verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour, Jesus says. Then he says, for, and he begins to explain it with a story. Okay, so watch this. Look up here, love us, look up here. Here's what Jesus is doing. Remember, the whole chapter, Matthew 25, is rooted in eschatology. Eschatology is the study of end times, last things. Good. We're learning together. So watch this. Eschatology, Jesus holds this up to encourage us in light of his return, eschatology. He's encouraging us to live and seize the moment of what he's entrusted to us. Eschatology, to be encouraged to endure. We're encouraged then in the truth of Christ that we would endure and live for that, live for him again, who matters. That's what's happening again in this story. So we have watch and be ready. What does that look like in our lives? That's the remainder of this message. Takes us to point number one is this. All Christ followers have been entrusted with opportunity. Okay, go. Just pastorally speaking, right now, I'm warning you, okay? I'm giving you a warning. I'm excited, but it's a direct message today. Like, it's coming at your heart and mind. Personally, I love when the Bible presents us with truth that you can't wiggle out of. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're presented with a challenge today. The only way you get out of it is if you leave the faith. And if you leave the faith, well, that's a whole other set of problems. Not that you can actually leave the faith theologically, but you have to deny the faith, reject it. If you claim to be a Christ follower, you have no option but to abide and adjust by what is being presented to us today. So it's going to be tough, but I think that's exactly what the Lord wants. He wants to help us. He loves us enough to tell us what we need to hear. Look at verse 14. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted, that word underlined, circled, highlighted, what do you got to do? Just know it's there. Notice, entrusted to them his property. He entrusted to them his property. Verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, her ability. Then he went away. What Jesus introduces here was very common in the ancient world. You would have a wealthy landowner or a wealthy business owner who would entrust their estate, their valuables, their financial dealings to a servant, to a wise servant. That was very common. Don't think of a household servant. Think of like a highly skilled business expert or highly skilled servant who can be entrusted. I think a great biblical example of this is Joseph and Potiphar. Potiphar gets Joseph as a slave, brings him into his house. It wasn't long before God put favor upon Joseph's life, and Joseph was in charge of all that Potiphar had, it said. It's kind of like that's what we're looking at right now. This is a very acceptable and common situation that wealthy people would do. They would entrust their servants with a lot. Notice in verse 15, it says, each according to his ability. Now that's very important. In the context of our parable, one gets five talents, one gets two, one gets one. We'll explain in a second what talents are exactly, but I want you to see this here right now. The master decides who gets what based on their ability to handle it. Let's do some application right now, okay? A lot of us are tempted at times to look at someone else and say, how come I'm not getting what he gets? How come she gets to do what she does? How come I'm not in the position that person is? How come I'm not there? How come I don't have it? And we start to complain and we start to get envious. Now, envy is a wicked sin because you're looking to have something that doesn't belong to you. And we're learning right away, the master being Jesus Christ hands out that which is appropriate for the individual assigned to them. All that to say this, be content with what you have. It's powerful. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's talking about super apostles. All the other super apostles, but then there's me as one untimely born. He says, by the grace of God, as if Paul wasn't some kind of great apostle himself, right? But he says here, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can you say that for yourself? By the grace of God, you are what you are. Don't try to be someone else. Don't wish you had someone else's thing or stuff, whatever. Your ability to be content in the gifting and the resources and the place that God has entrusted to you. By the way, some of you, you have one talent and you wish you had five. If you got five, it would ruin you. You couldn't handle it. You can't handle the truth. I just felt like saying that right there, right? But you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it, right? Because it would be too much and it would bring your heart down to destruction. So be careful. We start complaining to him. He's like, man, I'm loving you like crazy by withholding the very thing that would bring you to your end. But we think we're so smart, don't we? Anyways, all that to say, each according to his or her own ability. Notice next in verse 15 that each servant received a certain amount of talents. Now, this isn't the parable of the talent show. That's not what's happening here, right? Not as we think of a talent. A talent in the ancient world was not a coin. It was actually a weight, a measure of weight, which was used in terms of money. So a talent would actually be the amount of weight that a soldier could carry on his back. Somewhere between 75 to 100 pounds. A talent would be made up of gold, silver, or bronze. It was generally worth 6,000 denarii. You should have a footnote in your Bible besides verse 15, and you can look at that, and it would say here explaining that a talent was the equivalent to 20 years' wage of a day laborer, okay? 20 years' wages, wow. So in today's dollars, a talent would be worth somewhere, I mean, give or take a couple hundred thousand, somewhere around $1 million. One talent would be $1 million, something like that. So we begin to see just how much the servants were entrusted with. This was a massive opportunity. Now, before we interpret this incorrectly, this is not to suggest that in the context of our lives, that we all get $1 million from Jesus, all right? At least that would be bad exegesis. Exegesis is the term for pulling meaning, interpreting meaning out of the text. For our purposes though, a talent is opportunity. A talent is the opportunity God has entrusted to us, time, resources, spiritual gifting, authority. Opportunity is really the soul. I mean, now, I believe that unbelievers also are entrusted with opportunity and it's called a soul. You have this life that you're living, given by God Almighty. And then the bar is even raised for believers who are entrusted with specific talents or opportunity that is not to be wasted. So right away in this parable, discipline yourself to go beyond the parable, beyond the church, and I want you to apply it to your heart right now, okay? You have to do this. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your spouse. Think about your friend. Don't think about the person you wish I was here right now. Think about you, okay? Okay? This isn't just for me. This is for you. God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, has entrusted you, okay, with a specific opportunity. I want to sit in this. I want you to feel that. Make it personal. You have been entrusted by God with time, resources, ability, giftedness. You have been entrusted by God with His property. It's not yours, the text. It's His. We are to be stewards of what He's entrusted to us. I stress this because sometimes you can be listening to someone like myself up here and you can just kind of be, well, that's what your life and you're entrusted with this or the leaders or a couple of people here. No. Every single person, own it for what it is. You and me, we have been entrusted by God with God's opportunity.
We are taking a little break today mid-message to say thank you. Thank you so much, listeners, for being by our side for the past 16 plus years. We are so grateful to your commitment in prayer and in giving, and there's no way we would be here without you. Live in the Light believes strongly in radical transformation by the revelation of God's truth. And if this is you, we want to hear from you. No matter how long you've been with us, we want to hear how God is working in your life. Shoot us an email at litlcustomersupport@hopeoakville.ca. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or check out our website at liveinthelight.ca. We can't wait to hear your stories. Let's get back to today's message.
It's a big deal. And the question becomes this: are you using it or are you wasting it? Pause, think, apply. Are we using the opportunity God's given to us or are we wasting it? So this leads us to point number two, because the moment we know we've been entrusted with opportunity, then we realize we're commanded to steward this opportunity. We are commanded to steward the opportunity given to us. Look at verse 16 now. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Okay, so you've been entrusted with an opportunity, incredible opportunity. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? You multiply it or do you hide it? First of all, notice in verse 16, the man who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. Notice, so also did the man with 2 talents. Okay, these are servants to follow in their example. Jesus is holding them up as examples for us to follow. Notice this, first of all, notice the immediacy of the faithful servants. No hesitation, they went at once. They got right to work. No waffling, no complacency. Their urgency of their opportunity led to the action with their opportunity. Notice, the master leaves. He says, I'm entrusting you with 5 talents. He's like, I got it. My mission is clear. Let's go. Let's get started. The man with 2 talents, same thing. Master leaves. Here's 2 talents. He's like, mission clear. Here I go. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be fruitful with that which has been entrusted to me. So when the master returns, I will present to him all that I've done with what he's given to me, entrusted me with. Notice the initiative. The initiative. They waste no time. Notice, he traded with them. Their objective is multiplication. Right away, what's been entrusted to me, I want to multiply. I want to use, I want to bear fruit with that which has been graciously given to me. Notice their industry. The industry, they are wise. They are not wasteful. They are good businessmen. They know what they're doing. They've studied. They are discipled. And therefore, they are fruitful. Loved ones, here's one of the things you have to understand as we go through this passage right now. In the end, okay, you are responsible for you. You are responsible for that which has been entrusted to you. You can't push this on someone else. I can't make you do what Jesus is saying here right now. I'm responsible for me. We want as leaders to guide you and appropriately have the word and to protect you in that and guide you as sheep. At the end of the day, you are responsible for you. And you are accountable for you as I am accountable for me. To be discipled in the faith, to see the fruit of our lives and our opportunity to grow. This entire parable is dripping with application. We are commanded to be stewards with initiative and immediacy and industry. Notice this though, notice the opposite of immediacy, industry, and initiative is, the opposite is lethargy, laziness, and idleness. So if you want to have any clarity on who not to be, it's that. Lazy, idle, and lethargic in the things pertaining to the kingdom. We've been entrusted with an opportunity. Three types of people I think are here right now. And there's grace for each one, but you can't stay in two of them for sure. Number one, there are spectators. A spectator is someone that sits in the bleachers. They might cheer every now and then, stand up and go, that's awesome on the field, way to go. But they cheer, they're not in the game. See, the problem with the spectator in this circumstance is the spectator has a gift that needs to be used to contribute to the game on the field for the greater good. Every single person in Christ, do you know that? Every single person in Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift. Every single one, often multiple gifts. That's to be used for Christ. You cannot have that buried in the ground, okay? If you are spectating, and you continue to spectate the church, and you might cheer on God's kingdom. At some point, though, you gotta get in the field. If you are spectating your entire life, that's a bad sign for where you're actually at with Christ. You cannot keep spectating year after year after year after year, not if you're gonna be obedient to Christ and prove that you truly belong to Him. Spectator, there's sideliners. Sideliners aren't necessarily spectators, but they're ones that have been in the game before, but now they're sitting on the bench. And there's grace for that. There's grace. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you got to get in the bench. You need a water break, man. You got to sit down. You got to tape up your ankle, whatever, and get back in. You've been on the bench, though. Problem is sometimes the sideliners have been on the bench so long that they're healed and they're rested and there's been so much grace, but now the coach is like, come on, let's go. Get back in the game. We got to use you. You ready to do it? Come on now. Some of us have been sitting on the sidelines too long. And today the Holy Spirit's like, I'm calling your number. And you're like, put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Spectator, sideliner, steward. A steward. We're all meant to be stewards of that which has been entrusted to us. Because these are the ones that are proven to be faithful to see the fruit they've been given, the opportunity they've been given and multiplied for the Lord Jesus. The faithful servants give us some good examples, but in verse 18, we come to a fairly significant but. Here comes the contrast between faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Look at verse 18. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Notice, first of all, regardless of your perceived ability, 5-2 or 1, 5-2 or 1, we're all called to be stewards of that which God has entrusted to us. Okay, so again, you can't just look up at the front or look at someone leading somewhere and be like, well, that's just, no. Every single one of us alive in Christ, we're called to steward the opportunity that He's given to us. We know from a few verses from now, this third servant, he used the excuse that he was afraid. He was afraid, so he hid his money in the ground. Listen to this. The bottom line, notice this, about the third servant's indictment was he did nothing. That was his sin. And the master responded in a way that surprises me at least. He says, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew better. But notice here, his sin was that he did nothing. Not like he murdered someone. Not like he committed some horrible crime. He did nothing. He did not steward that which was entrusted to him. He ignored his calling. He neglected his opportunity. He wasted his stewardship, okay? Jesus is not wasting words here because Jesus doesn't want us to waste our lives. We are commanded to steward the opportunity God has entrusted to us. Don't waste it. Don't waste your life. And by the way, pastorally speaking right now, I am not trying to make you feel guilty. Guilt is of the enemy. Conviction is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent in John's gospel, it says, to convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. Guilt, bad. Conviction, good. Jesus is telling us and loving us by showing us if we're going in the direction of unproductivity and fruitlessness in our lives, that's a serious concern. You got to get in the game. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your stewardship opportunity with this one chance we have. Takes us to point number three. We will be held to account concerning our opportunity. All of us will have to give an account concerning the opportunity that God has given to us, entrusted us with. All of us will have to give an account. Let's see what happens. Verse 19. So after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Isn't that interesting? After a long time. This is once again the delay of the return of Christ. The parousia of Christ has come. The return of Christ is upon us. The master returned. And notice, when the master is delayed, it shows and proves the heart of the individuals. Notice also, he came to settle accounts. That's a business term. Reconciling the books, determining the reward. And here is yet another passage in Scripture that is telling us and warning us of judgment. When the master comes, he will settle accounts. We will be held to account in regards to our opportunity. Look now at verse 20. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." These first 2 faithful servants are wonderful examples for us. They are inspiring. Notice in verse 20, the man with the 5 talents, he says he's bringing the talents to the master. That word bringing is like a language in the original. It's a language of sacrifice. That's pretty telling right there, because the idea then of the servant is his work, his multiplication of his opportunity. It was actually a sacrifice to be presented to the master upon his return. I mean, it reminds me of Romans 12, verse 1. Present yourselves then before God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your spiritual worship. Loved ones, all of us in Christ, man, we are living sacrifices that we are to present our lives as such. When the master returns in some form, in some way, we will present ourselves to Jesus and say, here's my life. Here's what I've done with what you've entrusted to me for the fruit of the gospel and the kingdom. Don't be caught off guard in that regard. Don't waste it. So in the end, you got nothing to show for it. That's a disaster. Jesus is loving us by warning us, saying, don't let that be you.
Thanks for listening to us today. Join us again next time on Live in the Light.